Well, guys, that was an unusual game. First of all, no touchdowns for the Patriots. We haven't seen that in a long time.
And no touchdown throws for Tom Brady. So the record, done.
Yeah. The record you're talking about is
52 straight games with a touchdown pass. Yeah. He had the chance. He was creeping up on that 54 record for Drew Brees.
Well, and as Brady said after the game, that's the least of his worries. Overall, his offense, the Patriots' offense, just they did not play well.
Yeah,
whoa, fence.
And it's not in a vacuum either. It's not like just this was the one game. They've sort of been teetering with getting that touchdown streak snapped against the Jets, only 10 points. You know, even against Tampa Bay, it was sort of a struggle for a long time. This was the worst, but on the other side, give Cincinnati some credit. Their defense, their front four, I thought they were very physical. We've seen in recent seasons that's the blueprint to sort of slow the Patriots down, get around Tom, get in his face, get him rattled a little bit early in the game, and I think it snowballed from there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the statistic that I think you threw out on a radio show, 19 straight games the Bengals have held an opposing passer under 300 yards. In today's NFL, that's unheard of.
But for the Patriots in the first five games, not unheard of.
Right.
Because this offense continues just inconsistent. You know, the first four drives, they're backed up. So they're not really, you know, they're not really set up to go 90 yards every play. Then they shoot themselves in the foot with a sack each of the first couple drives. All of a sudden, you're punting four times. It's just they can't get out of their own way. They can't execute. They can't get something flowing. And then all of a sudden, you look, they haven't driven to the red zone, and you're still in the fourth quarter.
And as Paul said, it wasn't just one thing either. It wasn't just the young wide receivers. Amendola and Edelman were dropping passes. You know, it wasn't just the running game. It wasn't just the offensive line. It wasn't just Tom Brady. But it was all of those things.
Yeah, and it, again, I don't want to dismiss what Cincinnati did because I don't want to be unfair to what the Bengals were able to accomplish on defense. But to me, the bigger picture here is it's 5 weeks now, and really we've only seen the Patriots close to resembling their past offense once, and that was against a pretty weak Atlanta defense where they scored 30 points. Other than that, it's really been a struggle. You know, Andy mentioned the field position. It used to be in the old days, you know, like last year, where they'd get backed up and you'd say, all right, you know, 13 plays, 89 yards, touchdown. And
all it's like Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl. All that meant was a more impressive drive.
It was going to take some time off the clock. Nowadays, they get backed up like that and you're like, oh, just try to get a first down or two before you have to punt. Because, like Andy said, this is not an offense that gets a lot of big plays. So they're not really equipped to get chunks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the way that they've been sort of, you know, sputtering a little bit with negative plays, both in the running game and the pressure on the passer, they're not equipped to put together double-digit play drives either.
And that's how you end up 1 of 12 on third down offensively, including 8 of those, I think, were 7 yards and longer. So, you know, they're not – it's weird to say that a Brady offense isn't set up to get 3rd and 7, but they just don't have go-to guys that are ready to make plays with the sticks.
Right, and they're coming off a game in Atlanta where you're saying, oh, okay, the offense is starting to roll a little bit, maybe – but, you know, then we see Atlanta.
Yeah, Geno Smith did
right,
it too, so
right.
Poo-poo that.
So we see Atlanta's defense kind of just collapsing.
Let's get positive. Why don't you talk defense?
Well, I will in a moment, but
okay,
you know,
he's,
wants to
not,
stay
he's not ready to get positive.
He's not ready to move on.
Well, just the thing about it is, you know, we have a lot of people talking about Tom Brady. It definitely wasn't the best Tom Brady game we've seen. And, you know, you have to wonder if being able to just go out and have fun playing football is out of the question for him right now, where he might think that every play needs to be perfect. And, you know, he's saying, but that just can't happen with the cast I have around me. So, you know, you wonder if Brady just needs a little bit of time to kind of reevaluate and get back to just playing football and not worry about the guys around him as much. You know, you do what you need to do. In other words, what Belichick always tells all his players, do your job.
And have fun.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't limit it to Brady. I think the tight ends, the receivers, the running, everybody needs to have fun. I do think there's a lot of pressure building right now. Drops and sacks that are given, you know, bad plays, snowballing. But it's what comes first, a good play and having fun, or having fun and then good plays
right,
come? It's kind
right.
of hard.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Chemistry. Chemistry comes when you're winning games. You know, fun comes when you're making plays. They need to make plays.
And you feel responsibility for the other side of the ball. You know, in the past, it's always been the offense picking up the defense. Now it's
we wonder, imagine if this defense had an offense to go with it.
So now you get your transition into the defense.
Okay,
well, what was amazing to me along those lines is to hear Logan Mankin say after the game, we really felt like we let the defense down. We let those guys down. We've heard things like that from guys like Will Fork and Mayo in the past as they're trying to sort of rally the troops and get better on defense. Now it's the other way around. And I did think the defense played a solid game on Sunday. It wasn't perfect, as Bill pointed out. I thought the 93-yard drive they allowed in the fourth quarter, 6-3 game, you got them backed up. If you can get a punt there, you're really giving the offense a boost to get the game tied or perhaps take the lead in the fourth quarter. To let them go 93 yards, particularly that 3rd and 15 play where they give up the long from the 2-yard line, they give up the 28-yard pass to Marvin Jones, didn't look like they were ready.
Right.
But beyond that, I really have very little to nitpick about the defense. I thought they were pretty solid without Vince Wilfork. Yeah, they Bengals got some yards running, but I thought they made them work for him for the most part. It was really that one bad drive. There was a lot of talk last week about losing Vince Wilfork and how that might affect the run defense. And for the most part, I thought it was okay. Joe Villano and Chris Jones were really competitive. It wasn't perfect on the inside, but I thought they made the Bengals really work for what they got. They were able to run the ball a lot, Cincinnati was. But for the most part, I thought they had to really earn the yards they picked up. But one thing I had known nothing about was Chris Jones, the pass rusher. He was involved in a couple of sacks and really applied some heat to Andy Dalton. Not sure if that's really something you can expect every week, but my first impression of Chris Jones was a positive one. Stephen Ridley is a guy I want to see back in this lineup and back involved in the offense. The running game really disappeared against the Bengals, and I think a big part of that was because Ridley was on the sideline inactive. The Patriots need to give him the ball this week against New Orleans. This is a defense that can be run on. I want to see Stephen Ridley not only back in the lineup, but getting 20 carries. I want to see more of a commitment to the run, and I want to see the offensive line back to the way they were against Atlanta and not the way it was in Cincinnati. It's a good news, bad news situation in terms of the Patriots punter. The rookie Ryan Allen has been very impressive. He's been punching the ball a lot. He had 8 kicks against Cincinnati, 5 of those inside the 20, the last 4 in a row inside the 10. Those were invaluable kicks in a very tight, low-scoring game that really helped you get field position. Now, the bad news is the Patriots are seeing way too much of Ryan Allen. The offense has to get better. Right now, Allen is on pace to kick the ball 96 times this season. That's more than 3 times as much as Chris Hansen kicked a couple of years ago. The Patriots offense has to get better.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Stat-wise isn't important. We got to go out there and try to win games.
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
Images of the Week show just how frustrating it was for the Patriots. This one's of Julian Edelman in the end zone. He had his hands on it, but just couldn't hold on. And here's Danny Amendola on that play near the end zone. He wasn't in, but it was close. Here's a shot of Ryan Waddell being thrown right into Tom Brady. Nowhere to go there. We'll end on a positive note. I thought Brandon Spikes, who we see here, and Gerard Mayo had their best game this season.
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Safety Devin McCourty. That's still a little hard for me to say, safety Devin McCourty, after I was always calling you cornerback. Are you used to that yet?
Yeah, got to get used to it. Just out there trying to play and make plays, so I'm used to the position change now, and it's all working out well.
Now, the statistics would say that you guys have been obviously much improved. You're holding, you know, even in a losing effort on Sunday, 13 points is probably something that you guys are pretty happy with. Has it been as good as the stats show? I mean, do you nitpick when you look at the film and see some things that maybe you got away with, or has it been as good as the stats indicate?
No, I like to see it as it's good enough if it wins the game. So last week it wasn't good enough. Every game you always be able to do things better, of course, and you always do some things well. But, you know, for us the key is we have to play well enough to win the game. And, you know, our offense looks at it that way and our defense does too. So to go out there and, you know, play good, you know, stat-wise isn't important. We got to go out there and try to win games. And this week will be a huge challenge going out there against a high-powered offense. So, you know, they have great players everywhere, and then with a great leader in Drew Brees, so we'll really have to be prepared this week.
Well, thanks for making my transition to the Saints easy. obviously Jimmy Graham is a load. And he is a tight end in name, but he has so much athleticism and speed. A very difficult matchup. How do you guys deal with this?
Try to surround him. You know, it's not going to be one particular guy that can, you know, just go out there and say, you know, I'm going to hold Jimmy Graham to no catches. You know, he's a guy that they game plan to get the ball to, and there's a reason. You know, he makes plays, and he's made plays all year. So I think we're just going to have to, you know, take it as a total defensive effort, you know, with him, with Sproles, with Colston, with a bunch of those guys. I think, you know, the toughest thing about them is they have a quarterback that knows who to get the ball to in every situation. So we're going to have to be prepared and be able to cover everyone they put out there.
I feel like a broken record here, but every week when we're talking about matchups, it's Aqib Talib has on a all-pro run of some Pro Bowl receivers. But the question this week, do you match him up against technically a tight end, Jimmy Graham? Second in the NFL with 37 catches, big play machine, already has 6 touchdowns. Most of the time he's split out wide or in the slot. Do you take a true number one corner and line him up opposite a tight end? I say you do it. You take away the most dangerous weapon from the other team. Another big matchup for Talib. The next one isn't so much a matchup as it is a call to arms. I think it's time for the Patriots offensive line, the 5 guys up front, take leadership of this offense as a whole. There's injuries in the backfield. There's uncertainty at receiver. Tom Brady is struggling like we haven't seen in his career before. But you have 5 guys up front making a lot of money, a couple first-round picks. They need to win the battle in the trenches. The Saints aren't great on run defense. Get the ground game going early. Keep Drew Brees on the sideline. Logan Mankins and company own this game. Another week, and we take another look at a matchup on the sidelines. It's not just Sean Payton that's brought respectability back to the Saints. It's Rob Ryan, old friend. Began his career here in New England early in the 2000s. Won a couple Super Bowls working under Bill Belichick with the linebackers. He brings familiarity with what the Patriots are doing on offense. He also brings an aggressive style of play that is working for the Saints. They're a banged-up defense. They may be undermanned, but they're tied for 11th in total defense. 4th in points allowed, 11 forced turnovers. The Rob Ryan style, yes, that flowing long hair, is working in New Orleans, and we know that familiarity often gives the Patriots problems. Watch out for the upset. Watch out for Rob Ryan.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
They were both banged up, too. I know they didn't miss the game.
Yeah, I'd love to blame it on injuries. I think the issue is those guys aren't good enough.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
The Denver Broncos got a little lesson in social media this week. From their official Twitter account, they tweeted out the fact, and it is a fact, that on Sunday, Denver scored as many points as the Jacksonville Jaguars, their opponent next week, has all season. Well, you don't exactly do stuff like that, and Jaguars jumped all over it. They tweeted out, "Stay classy, Denver," and I can understand why the Jaguars were upset, but you know what? I don't really have a problem with the whole thing. The only thing is what they should do is have somebody else on their staff tweet it out, like we would with Andy.
Before every season, we like to have our picks published in the paper for PFW, and we call them our predictions. They're really, you know, not for anything other than entertainment, nothing on the line here, and it's a good thing. Here are 3 of my teams that I thought would be playoff teams in 2013. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the New York Giants, the Atlanta Falcons. Those 3 teams are combined 1-13 right now. I don't think any of those teams are going to the playoffs. I had one sleeper team that I brought out right here on this very television show, the Carolina Panthers. They have 1 win, too. I'll tell you one thing that's not in my future, an 800 number, 1-800-Paulie's Picks. Not going to work.
I hate to bring this up shortly after many of you probably finished your dinner, but if you look at these new uniforms that Nike is proposing for the Pro Bowl, you may get ill. I don't know what happened to red, white, and blue. I thought those were the colors of the NFL, the NFL Shield, and, oh, by the way, America. I thought all-star games were supposed to be patriotic. And Nike decides that fluorescent green and fluorescent orange should now be the colors of the Pro Bowl? What is this, the World League of American Football? Nike, you know running shoes. Stick to that. Designing uniforms in college, in the NFL, for the Pro Bowl, your taste is lacking.
Trash talk. Brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
The Patriots are dealing with their share of banged up players. Which are hurting the team more, the wide receivers or the running backs?
I really think the biggest issue right now on the offense is Shane Vereen. And I know it sounds weird for a guy that hasn't had a lot of contributions, but all the lacking at receiver, the lacking at tight end, the lacking of consistent pass catchers out of the backfield, I think we've seen what a spark Shane Vereen can be for an offense that's searching for an identity. I really think the loss of Vereen has been huge the first month here.
Yeah, we can agree that the biggest problem on offense is health. And I think, to me, it's not necessarily about guys who are missing, but it's just the overall state of the wide receivers. I don't think Tom Brady has any idea who he can rely on there. I mean, Danny Amendola was supposed to be the guy, the focal point. He's obviously been banged up. He's missed some time. He came back against the Bengals, but he's not himself. So it's going to take some time there. I thought he was a little rusty. He dropped a couple of passes. I think that's atypical. But even with Tompkins and Dobson, these guys have been sort of in and out. You don't know what you're going to get from them from game to game. They've been banged up a little bit. I just think overall, there's no confidence in the passing game, and to me, that's what this offense is based on, the passing game.
I'm not sure there's confidence in the running game. Last week we saw it. Ridley's out, and it's the worst offensive performance of the season, in my opinion. This is, you know, going back decades, basically. Not really. But since the last time they were held to less than 6 points, that Miami loss in 06, and Brady has one of his worst games in terms of completion percentage, passer rating. He had nothing to work with. And you talk about trust. LeGarrette Blount was okay, and then he has a key fumble. Well, okay, take him out of the equation. Okay, Brandon Bolden's going to fill in. Yeah, until I throw him the ball and he doesn't catch it. There's nothing to work with coming out of the backfield. With this offensive line and the lack of weapons on the outside, the lack of continuity in the passing game, everybody expected this was the year. Those draft picks pay off. Ridley and Vereen, your returning 1,000-yard rusher, your star back in the making. And where are those guys? They're home watching on TV like everybody
and
else.
Right. And it's not just about I think it would be nice to have a running game to fall back on, but I've seen this offense get by without a running game.
Yeah,
but
they used
to have
a passing game.
But that's my point.
And it's nothing to do with injuries.
That's why the bigger absence is the receivers. To me, these guys are banged up.
And I know they're banged up.
It sounds like just one guy.
Yeah.
But to me, Amendola is huge. And to not have
really.
Him,
he's like 5'9".
To not have him be healthy and be, I think he was supposed to be the focal point of what they wanted to do. You know, we'll see what happens when everybody is back, because eventually these guys are going to come back. Gronk is going to be back. Vereen's going to be back. And I think they'll have more weapons to work with. But to me right now, not knowing what to expect from Dobson, not knowing what you're going to get from Tompkins. And they, by the way, they were both banged up, too. I know they didn't miss the game.
Yeah, I'd love to blame it on injuries. I think the issue is those guys aren't good enough.
I think it's part of it.
You counted on good guys in the backfield that aren't there, that are hurt, that are out of action. That should be a huge part of this offense. First and second down, I should be able to go to Ridley. He wasn't there, right? And then third down, okay, I'll turn it over to Vereen. He's not there. So first and second down, I go to Blount. He's okay sometimes, except he fumbles. And then on third down, I go to Bolden, and then he gives the ball away or doesn't catch it. There just isn't anything to count on in the backfield. And any offense that has zero to count on, we know they've been a passing offense, but Woodhead, you could count on him. He was accountable. Kevin Falk was
dependable
accountable.
Players.
They
no
don't
question.
Have anybody in the backfield right now that they can depend on, and that's just exacerbating the problem.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. New England Football Night is brought to you by AT&T. Rethink possible. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you in part by Yokohama. Now through October 13th, buy a set of 4 Yokohama tires and receive a $100 Patriots Pro Shop gift card free. Details in store. Yokohama, technology drives better tires.
All right, it's question time here on PFW. But first, it's the return of the Wilson Heart Index. And I just want to know, are your weekly picks based on the index? I hope not.
And when we're wrong, like this week when we picked the Falcons, we say,
accept it.
We were wrong. We made a mistake. We move on. And the Patriots, I'm going to say it right here, will beat the Bengals this week. Thanks in part to Rob Ninkovich. All right, Fred, I'm going to ignore that last comment and let the picks speak for themselves over the course of the season.
Repeat the mistakes, I guess.
Yeah. The Seahawks retain the top spot in the rankings, although the gap has closed. They were far and away the top team. you know, losses happen. It's early in the year, but they're a good football team, both sides of the football. We have a number two Kansas City Chiefs. I know you like undefeated teams. Is that okay that they stay at number two? Playing pretty good football. Tied for the third spot, the Colts and the Saints. Then we have the Lions and Titans tied at five.
How'd the Lions slip in?
Oh, relax. And the Broncos are seven. Patriots actually stayed the same.
The Broncos are seven.
No, I'm losing for the 22nd straight time in the same
focus,
field. That doesn't,
focus on the
it doesn't affect you as much as it
same.
Used to.
The bottom of the rankings, the New York Giants did what I thought was unthinkable. They moved to the bottom spot. They kicked the Jaguars out of last place.
Wow.
It's very close, tight down the bottom. But, yeah, a lot of up and downs.
Where are my Patriots?
I just told you eight. You were too busy laughing at the Broncos being seven.
You're right. I was laughing.
Patriots stay the same.
All right.
And the Saints coming to town. Tough one this week.
Now, is Denver up or down?
I don't know. I'm down on you.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the questions that you sent us at askpfw@patriots.com. And the first one has to do with the index. Is it available online?
Of course. And we always welcome fans of the index here on the show and online. Every Tuesday, patriots.com on the Patriots Football Weekly
Keith,
blog.
Keith, find a hobby.
You'll see the
There's
update.
Something better to do. Find a
and
hobby,
that,
Keith.
And that was from Keith.
People love it.
Obviously, people aren't happy after the loss in Cincinnati. Stan writes in, while Coach Belichick has accepted responsibility for the losses countless times, he says, has he ever accepted responsibility for his shortcomings as a GM?
As a matter of fact, just a little bit to the left of where we are right now, Bill Belichick holds his press conferences, and I often hear him say, I'm not doing a good enough job of getting me talent.
Right.
Of course not.
Does he say we get outdrafted? Is that how he
finds this? Yeah, you know, listen, I think that Bill does a really good job of talking about the coaching. Every time, whether it's good or bad, he says we have to do a better job of coaching. He always puts himself into it. And I think that when he's talking like that, he's taking... You know, Bill is sort of, you know, he runs the whole operation. I think he's taking responsibility for everything that happens with his team. Have I ever heard him say, no, we got to do a better job as a GM? No.
But look, folks, if you think that there's anyone better to run this team, both as a GM or a coach, than Bill Belichick, you're crazy. You're crazy. The day he leaves here, some other team will want him, and I don't care what team it is.
And by the way, look at people that normally are compared to Belichick, Kevin Colbert. In Pittsburgh. They have a boatload of problems. They're a terrible football team. How about Thomas Dimitroff in Atlanta?
Right.
You know, they're getting hit with injuries. They're not a very deep football team. Right. They're losing games. A lot of the guys that are considered to be in his class are having down
Struggling.
Years. And by the way, he's
Jerry
having
Jerry Reese with the Giants, Ozzie Newsome with Baltimore, sort of.
And what's Bill doing with his down year? He's 4-1. So I know you're coming off a loss and you're emotional, but he's still pretty good now.
You have to tell me. All right, that's this week's questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.